Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to St. Olaf Lutheran Church here in Fort Dodge, Iowa. I would like to thank those who are making our service possible here today. Jason on the organ, Mark doing AV and editing, Bob as our AV tech, Linda as our soloist, and Grace as our assisting minister. It's good to be with you today, and we pray that God's Spirit may bless you with this service.
The path of the disciple will be easy. Jeremiah feels the pain of rejection from those who do not want to hear what he has to say. Jesus declares that his words may bring stark division. Even so, we need not be afraid, for God accounts for each hair on our heads. Though we may experience rejection, frustration, division, and death, God's grace and love make us a new creation every day. Marked with the cross and filled with holy food, we are sent from worship to witness to Christ in the world.
We continue with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation.
Amen. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God,
we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us. So that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord God, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, except that of knowing that we do your will through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him, let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise to the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Second reading is from Romans 6. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and all, but the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house of Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone therefore acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all of our dads worshiping with us today. You are such a gift to your family, so keep on giving as you bless your children. Family and friends that are sitting near these fellas, give them a pat on the back or a great big bear hug and tell them thank you. God is good and God has blessed us richly. God saw creation and it was what? Good. God saw humanity and said it was what? Very good. We as people are very good, and we are blessed to be able to gather as God's people in worship to praise our Heavenly Father's name. We have a good, good Father in every way. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey tells the story of Ernest Hemingway. Hemingway grew up in a very devout evangelical family, and yet there he never experienced the grace of Christ. He lived a libertine life that most of us would call dissolute, and there was no father, no parent waiting for him, and he sank into the mire of a graceless depression. A short story Hemingway wrote perhaps reveals the grace that he hoped for. It is the story of a Spanish father who decided to reconcile with his son who had run away to Madrid. The father, in a moment of remorse, takes out an ad in the El Brio, a newspaper. He writes, "Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana noon Tuesday. All is forgiven, Papa." When the father arrives at the square in hopes of meeting his son, he found 800 Pacos waiting to be reunited with their father. Was Paco such a popular name? Or is it a father's forgiveness that is salve for every soul? Does our Heavenly Father forgive us? Does he love us unconditionally? Maybe our earthly father failed us, but our Heavenly Father will never fail us. We learn so much from our dads. Mark Twain said it best when he wrote, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in those last 7 years." Fathers share wisdom and understanding. And today I want to focus on some biblical fathers and see what we can learn from them. The Bible lists lots of dads who are the kind of fathers that are examples that are worth following. On one hand, some of these dads did what was totally spectacular, and on the other hand, they only did what was expected of every dad. These dads for today are Noah, Abraham, Job, and Joshua. Most of us know their stories. They are superheroes of faith, yet each of them did something that we can all follow with the Lord's help. Our first dad is Noah. This guy saved the whole human race by saving his family. The world was shattering and falling apart. Noah lived his life in such a way that he had favor with God. And that day, the world was a wicked and corrupt place. People were sinning. It was horrible. Does it sound familiar? God said, "I'm going to wipe out all of humanity off the face of the earth." But here was Noah, a good man. Good was an understatement. He was a righteous, blameless man. He walked with God. Noah had God's attention in heaven, so the Lord called to him because he walked with the Lord. What kind of earthly dad is this? What can we learn from Noah? Noah stood up for his faith, even when it was not that positive to do so. He lived right, he walked by faith, You honor the Lord when you do that. So what did Noah do? He built the ark, and two by two they were saved from the flood. God gave us the gift to remind us that we will never have to live through a flood like that again. What was it? The rainbow. God's promises are good. Our second dad is Abraham. The Lord wanted to set apart a nation and his people to redeem the whole world and to raise up this nation. God called to Abraham to lead his children in the way God would want them to be led. Abraham lived by faith, and he demonstrated how to follow the Lord to his family. He taught them to keep the ways of the Lord by obeying his call. Now, some of us may be sitting here today listening, saying, yeah, but Abraham had visions and revelations, and I've never gotten any of those. But let me remind you that Scripture is full of God's visions of how God would want us to be and live. You have received the visions and inspirations from God's word. God told Abraham, leave your country, leave your people, leave your household, and go to the land I will show you. Can you imagine how terrifying that must have been? And doesn't God call us to the same? We are all on a journey to a land we have never seen. Pack up your belongings, your hearts, and go with God. Kids often ask in a long car ride, are we there yet? We'll know when we get there, and we need leaders to take and lead us there. Our third dad is Job, who prayed heartily for his children, and Job got God's attention not because he was rich. He prayed for his children. He was blameless. You've probably heard so-and-so has faith like Job. Job prayed for his kids in case they sinned. He didn't want them to go to the neighbor down the street and tattletale, hey, Jimmy went so-and-so and stole these three pieces of candy. Job prayed for his kids, whether they needed it or not, that they would honor the Lord. Our earthly fathers to pray for their kids in that way, and can't every single one of us pray for each other in this way? And last but not least is our fourth dad, Joshua, who chose the Lord for his family. Joshua is considered one of our early church fathers. He set the example for every household in the nation of Israel. Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When we leave this world, our greatest legacy will never be our cars, our homes, our money. Our legacy is showing our family where we are going and where we stand with God. How many funerals have you ever gone to and someone has come up to you after the service and said, I believe he has made peace with the Lord? Can you recall a time or two? And doesn't that sort of thing strike you as funny? In a way, they're hoping that you'll confirm, yes, yes, they're at peace with God. But do we really know for sure? We hope that our departed loved ones in question made peace with God in those final moments. Isn't that sad for us? Families sitting at funerals wondering, where did our loved one go? Joshua set the clear direction of where he wanted God's people to go. And I know that we cannot force the Lord on people, but we can lead by example in sharing our faith and letting our dreams be made known. Joshua told Israel, I don't know what you will do when I am not here, but this is what I hope you will do. His determination in following the Lord was what made him a great biblical father. Four famous biblical fathers, men who loved their families and served the Lord, footprints worth following. This message isn't just for dads, but for every single one of us. They did simple things. Do right when it's easier to do wrong. Break away from the crowd. Pray faithfully for others. Choose the Lord. Follow him. Let others know it. Who gives us the strength and the courage to do so? I would like to offer a blessing for our dads, so let us pray. Lord, thank you for all fathers, for the new ones who endure sleepless nights with infants in their arms, for the busy ones who juggle the pressures of home and family life, for the steadfast ones who nurture and care for our special vulnerable children, for the patient ones who always seek to forgive and engage with their preteens, for the persistent ones who cleverly find new ways to connect with their many adults, for the father uncles who step in to cradle and care for nieces and nephews, for all granddads who love and support their precious grandchildren, for the foster dads that are called to gather and cover the fragile ones, for the Sunday dads who care for our children and lead them in faith, for the dads who give far beyond their own resources, who overcome disability to cherish and love. Thank you, Lord, for all of our beautiful fathers. Help us to support them and keep them in your prayers. May you bless them now on this, their special day. Amen.
Hymn 802, verses 1, 3, and 4.
To unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. Expansive God, you bring diverse voices together to form your church. Open our hearts and unstop our ears to learn from one another, that differences might not overshadow our baptismal unity. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Providing God, your creation shows us that life comes from death. Renew the places where our land, air, and waterways have been ill for too long. Direct the work of all who care for birds and their habitats. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Protecting God, sustain and keep safe all who work to defend others across the world, especially Harold and Marilyn Wingerson, Gary Weidenfield, Curtis Stover, Tim Brainerd, Steve Hall, Steve Quam's family and loved ones, John and Diane Eveland, Steve Springer's family and loved ones, Jodine Kesigi, Rosemary Stickrod, Renee Powell, Willie Williams, Steve McKinney, Mike and Chantel Early, Donna Smith, John Olstad, Bowden Seehusen, Scott Otto, Teresa Copps, Arlene DeWall, and David Halsrud. Revive and strengthen organizations dedicated to caring for refugees and migrants while their homelands struggle for peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving God, you promise to be with all who are persecuted for your sake. Guide all who speak your word of justice and console any who are tormented or targeted for being who they are. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Compassionate God, you are with us and we are never alone. Bless all fathers and father figures who strive to love and nurture as you do. Comfort all who long to be fathers and all for whom this day is difficult. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reigning God, you bless us with guides and caretakers in the faith. As we give thanks for those who have died, increase our care for one another until we walk with them in newness of life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words. Through Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. At this time, we will receive our offering for the mission and ministry here at St. Olaf Lutheran Church. We ask that you prayerfully consider supporting the work of our congregation. Please consider sending your offerings online through our PayPal link below or by mailing a check to the church. We appreciate all of your good gifts as they further in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen.
Amen. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, God, the Creator, Jesus, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen.
Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.